2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One of the biggest problems we have as Christians is that we have strongholds. We have strongholds in our minds that need to be brought into subjection of Christ. We tend to have things in our mind because of things that we've been exposed to throughout our lives. As young children and as young adults, we are exposed to various different things. Some people have a problem with vanity. Some people are so vain, they probably think this song is about you. Or could I say this sermon's about you? They think, well, I'm talking to them only and nobody else. And they become like this because from a young child they're told, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, what wonderful hair you have. Oh, what beautiful teeth you have. Now, there's nothing wrong with telling people that they are beautiful and that they have beautiful things. But the problem is that they get to associate that that's how they have to be all the time. And then often people are told from a young age, you're ugly, you're stupid, you don't know what you're doing. And so they grow up and they have this idea in their mind that they are stupid, that they are ugly, that there's something wrong with them. I'm sure many of you have been through the situation as young children, you are teased by other children and you're told that you have got a flat nose or you've got big ears or you've got something wrong with you. And as you grow up, these things tend to bother you. But the wonderful thing is that when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, suddenly you are who you are and you don't care about these things. Now, these are things that people grow up with. And we know for a fact that if you continue to tell somebody something, eventually they start to believe it. I remember when we were at school, we used to play a trick on some of the children there. We'd gang up as a gang of guys and we'd get together and we'd say, today we're going to tackle Johnny. And every time we walked past Johnny, we'd say, oh, you don't look too well today. Oh, why are you so pale? Everyone would come and say something different to him. And by the end of the day, Johnny was sick. No matter what you did, he was sick by the end of the day. And this is why the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we need to be careful of what we say to people or how we reinforce things to people, how we continuously tell them certain things and how we continue enforcing things with them, because they form strongholds in your mind. One of the strongholds that I do find that has been formed in many, many people's minds is the stronghold of superstition. Many people have become very, very superstitious because of things that they've been told through their lives, because of things that they've been enforced with them. I know for a fact that I had a superstition, and when I say it's a superstition, don't get me wrong, it wasn't really a superstition, but I had a respect because my mother told me always, never cut your nails on a Friday because that's the day that the Lord died. So I tend to, whenever it's Friday, and then of course I have to overcome it. But not only that, other people have superstitions like, don't put your shoes on the table because it brings bad luck. And people have these different superstitions and they become strongholds in their minds. And people, and I've seen a couple of heads shake this morning, but I know some of you also have other superstitions. And we need to understand that when we become Christians, these strongholds need to go. They need to be dissipated. They need to go away. I mean, we have these superstitions, you know. I'm going to buy a lotto ticket, so I better go and rub the Buddha's tummy. And then when Buddha doesn't give them anything, they say, now, why didn't Buddha give me that? You know, I rubbed his tummy. He should have given it to me. But these are the things that we have. We have these superstitions. And what we've got to realize is that once we become Christians, once we have Christ living within us, then we need to allow Christ to live in us, not our superstitions. And this is one of the big things that we do have. Now, these strongholds in our minds need to be brought into subjection, to the subjection of Jesus Christ. Now, I've often heard people say, well, you know, people just have to accept me as I am, because that's who I am. That's how I was brought up. That's how I grew up. And therefore, they must just accept me as I am. That is a cop-out. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to allow Him to take over your life. You need to allow Him to change you. You need to become conformed to the image of Christ. That's what we need to do. We need to allow God to change us. In verse 5 of our reading this morning, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Are we bringing those imaginations of our mind into the obedience of Christ? Or are we still allowing it to rule our lives? Do we still have these superstitions that rule our lives? Now, you might say to me, "But Alan, I'm not really superstitious." Well, then why do you say it? Why do you do it? Why do you allow things that you say you don't believe in to influence you? I told a lady at work the other day, because she asked me, "Does voodoo work?" And I said, "Absolutely, if you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it won't work. But if you believe in it, it will work." And therefore, when we stand around here, or we sit around and we say things that are superstitious, you are allowing it to work. You are allowing the superstition to take preference over Christ. And we need to get away from that. We need to break away from those things. When Christ comes into our lives, there will be a change in our lives and in our behavior. There'll be a change in our opinions. If there's no change in our lives, then we need to ask ourselves, have we really submitted to Christ? Or have we simply taken Christ out as an insurance? Now, what do I mean by that? There are many people that accept Christ in case there's a heaven, in case there's a hell. They've not come to that realization that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They say, "Well, in case there's a heaven, I'm going to accept Christ." And we need to ask ourselves, is that the reason that we have accepted Christ? Or have we accepted Christ because I know I'm a sinner? I know I need a Savior. I know that I'm evil. I know that without accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm doomed to a lost eternity. We have to do that. Not because I take it out as insurance. Now, don't get me wrong. None of us can know for a certainty that there is a heaven or hell. We can believe it, but we don't necessarily know it. But when you become a Christian, you should do it not because you maybe there's a heaven, maybe there's a hell. It's because you believe with all your heart that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that you're a sinner and you don't deserve to go to heaven, and therefore you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So as Christians, we need to allow the Lord Jesus to shine in our lives. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is the light. And we have to allow the light to shine in our lives. Do me a favor, turn over to Leviticus 10, verse 1 and 2. Leviticus, yes, right back. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book of the Bible, verse 10. Verse 1 and 2. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now, these two guys that we read about here were the sons of Aaron. They were priests. Their job was to keep the light shining in the temple. But they allowed the oil to go out in the temple. They allowed the light to go out in the temple. And instead of going and getting the correct holy oil, they put just ordinary fire with ordinary incense in their censers. And they came and offered it to the Lord. And the Lord told them they're not allowed to bring any strange fire or any strange incense into his house. And the Lord devoured them by fire. They allowed the light to go out. And this is something that we need to understand, that we need to allow the Lord's light to shine through us. When we allow superstitions or our own thoughts or our own self-ego to have preference over the light of the Lord, then we are doing disservice to the Lord. Remember, you are the temple of the Holy God. And you have to allow God's light to shine within you. You know, we've said it so many times. What often happens is we become Christians and we stick the Lord into the back corner. We allow him to sit right in the back corner of our heart, and then on a Sunday he can come out. Sunday is the day that he can come out forth and be part of us. But the rest of the week, hide him away. Does everybody know that you're a Christian every day of the week? Do you allow your light to shine every day of the week? And you know, it's happening in many Christian circles today too. We are allowing strange lights to shine in our lives. I read a book a little while ago called Let Your Inner Light Show. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a lovely Christian book. But the emphasis was on let your inner light show. And it was allow the Spirit to take over your life. Now, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible tell us to allow the Spirit to take over our lives. It tells us to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take our lives. And be not drunk with wine when in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And let the Lord shine through. Because the Holy Spirit said, I have come to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to allow the Lord to shine through. Or otherwise, people will say, yes, you've become a Christian, but have you received the gift? Do you have the gift? And of course, most of us say, what gift? But that's what they ask you. Or you must allow the God within you to shine forth. What God? These are the things that we need to ask ourselves. So if you belong to Christ, then everything should be about Christ. This is a difficult pill to swallow. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Therefore, everything that I have belongs to Christ. That motor car that I own belongs to Christ. The house that I live in belongs to Christ. Do you realize that when you allow that to take permeation in your life, when you allow Christ to be the Lord over everything in your life, when catastrophe hits you, it doesn't matter anymore. Because it's the Lord's. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. Of course, the Lord does say we need to be good watchmen of his goods. So therefore, you have to look after it. But do you understand what we're getting at? Is that if you have come to that situation in your life where you say, well, it's not mine anymore. It belongs to the Lord. So when he takes it, well, it's not going to hurt as much. And therefore, we need to know, that's when we find true contentment. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write, and he says, I have learned that whatever situation I find myself in, therewith to be content. Because it doesn't belong to me anyway, it belongs to the Lord. So we need to trust in the Lord for those things. But then we come to the next thing, is suffering. And this is where a lot of superstition comes in. Oh, you're suffering because you've done something wrong. You're suffering because you're not walking with the Lord anymore. You're suffering because you don't have enough faith. These are superstitions. These are things that are superstitious. The Lord tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But the problem is that most people think, oh well, I'm suffering because I haven't gone to church for 2 weeks, so I'm suffering. We need to understand that those are also superstitions. Those are things that people need to get out of. We don't suffer because of what we do or our relationship with God. We suffer because the Lord of this world is out to deceive us. Remember, I've often been asked, why does God allow suffering? Why does God make us suffer? Well, let me tell you, God doesn't make us suffer. But he allows us to have a free will. And we have chosen, or when I say we, I'm talking about the world, have chosen to have Satan as our Lord instead of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord. And therefore, Satan allows, or does, cause suffering. He causes suffering. And God has allowed it because that is the laws of God. God's spiritual laws are, He no longer influences the world. The world chose Satan, and therefore He leaves us over to Satan. That's a difficult law to accept, but just use the example. In our normal life, we have laws. Many of us don't agree with those laws. Many of us think to ourselves, well, why are those laws necessary? We don't see the necessity for them. And therefore we become upset with the Lord when He has certain laws. But yet we accept the laws of this land. Take, for instance, asylum seekers. Let's say there's a genuine asylum seeker. When he applies for asylum in Australia, he is put onto a waiting list, or he's put into a holding camp. He cannot come into the free society of Australia until he has been processed. Now, we might not agree with that, because we believe that he's a genuine asylum seeker. However, that is the law of the land. And God has the same laws. God has certain laws. He allows certain things to happen because that is part of the process. That is part of us getting to become what we need to be, strong and strengthened in the Lord. You know, the devil, he's the one that is out to destroy. He's the one that will come and attack you. And when you are superstitious, he has got a hold on you. Now remember, I tried to get it across a few minutes ago. Our superstition is not only the so-called superstitions out there, like the not putting shoes on table and the not cutting your nails on a Friday and the don't open an umbrella in the house and don't walk under a ladder and all those superstitions. Now if you look at those superstitions, most of them come from a genuine reason. Why don't you put your shoes on the table? Well, in the old days, we used to be farmers. And we used to be out there in the paddock. And, you know, we used to walk in all kinds of dung. So if you put those shoes on the table, it wasn't very nice. You don't walk under a ladder because somebody might be up there painting and the paint might fall on your head. You don't open an umbrella in the house because you might poke somebody in the eye. So these superstitions come from somewhere. And once upon a time, they had genuine reasons for them. But what I'm trying to get at here is, it's not only those superstitions, it's also the superstition about religion. It's the superstition about Christianity. It's the superstition about, oh, I must have done something wrong, that's why God is punishing me. Back in the old traditional teachings, we were taught that you have to carry your cross. That's the cross that God has given you to bear. And therefore you have to carry your cross. God has not given any one of us a cross to bear. We are like we are because of circumstances and because of things that have happened around us. When the only cross that God has given, He gave to His Son. And His Son bore your sins upon the cross of Calvary. And therefore, if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. We need to get away from our thoughts about, I am ill, I am sick because of this and that and the next thing. You are sick because that is the way of the world. You are ill because of germs that are going around. There are germs in this world. And when man sinned, God allowed the spiritual laws to come into effect, and this earth became an evil place, and thorns and thistles grew, and bacteria grew, etc. We need to understand those type of things. So therefore, we need to understand that what we do does not influence what God does. God has done it. He has sent His Son to die in your place and my place. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are set free. So therefore, let's get rid of those superstitions. Just a couple of verses to reinforce that. Have a look at Matthew 7, 7 to 12. Matthew 7, 7 to 12. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them? For this is the law and the prophets. Now I'm going to expand a bit on that, those verses. But it's the analogy that the Lord's using here. If you who are evil give good things unto your children, won't the God of heaven give good things unto you? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. What we need to understand is here that the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples while still offering the kingdom of heaven on earth. And when the Lord is the Lord of heaven and earth, when Jesus sits on the throne of his father David, you will ask anything and it shall be given to you. You shall knock and it shall be opened unto you. You shall seek and you shall find. Because that's when the Lord rules on this earth. But tell me, is the Lord ruling on this earth at this moment? No, he's not. Because the nation of Israel rejected their Messiah. They turned their back on him and allowed him to go his own way. So therefore, if the Lord was ruling this earth, that would be the rule. Now turn over to John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Who's the thief? Who's the deceiver of this world? Who's the one that is wanting to take our souls and take it to his own lost eternity? The thief is Satan. Satan comes to destroy. And who's the God of this world at this present time? Satan. And therefore he comes to destroy. He comes to break us down. He comes to take things away from us. Do we understand how superstitions play right into the hand of Satan? We allow our thoughts, our imaginations of our mind to take control. And Satan says, yay, I've got them. I've got them. I can do with them what I want to. Because they believe that they've done something wrong and God is punishing them. Is God punishing us? No. God has set us free. He's given us life. He's given us more abundantly. Some people say to me, but Alan, surely God can just wipe out Satan? Get rid of him? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Would it? What about those friends of yours that don't know the Lord? What about those friends that you would love to come to know the Lord and haven't as yet come to know the Lord? Because if the Lord wipes out Satan right now, they won't have a chance to accept the Lord as their Savior. They will be wiped out with Satan and go to a lost eternity. Therefore, we need to understand that God is giving us time. Peter writes and he says that the long suffering of God is salvation. Because there are scoffers walking about and saying, from the beginning of time we've heard that the Lord's going to come, the Lord's going to come, the Lord's going to come. But he hasn't come yet. And they scoff about it. And Peter says, because the long-suffering of God is salvation. Because while Satan is still free on this earth, we still have the freedom to accept the Lord as our Savior. But if the Lord came right now and he wiped out Satan, nobody else would come to the Lord. They'd be lost. They'd go to a lost eternity. That brother of yours, that sister of yours, that friend of yours down the road, they would be lost. They wouldn't even know the Lord because they wouldn't have the opportunity. You know, Dwight L. Moody once wrote, and I'm going to quote this, I believe that if an angel were to wing his way from earth to heaven and were to say that there is one poor, wretched boy without a father or mother, with no one to care for him, and that he needed to be won for the Lord and taught the truth of Scripture, then all of heaven and every angel would respond and say, Lord, send me that I may be the one to tell him of your amazing grace and your love for him. Lord, send me. Is that the cry of our hearts? Is that the cry of our souls? Send me, I'll go and talk to them. Or do we just say, oh well, somebody else can talk to him. It's not my responsibility. Let somebody else go and talk to them. But you know, I believe that that's what shows the value of a soul to God. So we see that if God took care of Satan right now, there would be no grace for anybody else. So you and I have the responsibility of sharing God's grace with other people. Ezekiel 33 tells us about the watchman on the wall. If you have time, go read Ezekiel 33. But it tells us about the watchman on the wall. And the watchman on the wall had to stand there. And if the enemy came, the watchman had to blow the trumpet. If he blew the trumpet and the people were aware that the enemy was coming, his blood was not their blood was not required at his hand if they didn't obey the trumpet. But if he did not blow the trumpet, then the blood of the people that were killed would be his responsibility. And that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to save people, but our responsibility is to warn people. Our responsibility is to share the gospel of grace with other people. Then it is God's responsibility to save them. Therefore, we need to share the gospel in a way that they can accept because of our love for them and God's love for them. So we are to remember that we are bastions of God's grace. We are the light of the world because Christ lives with us, and therefore we are the light of the world. And when other people look at us, they should see the light and not the superstition. They should see the light and not the darkness. They should see the light because we have the light living within us. Now, how do we keep the light burning brightly? How do you and I keep the light burning brightly? By casting down the imaginations of our mind and bringing them into the subjection of Christ. Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the one that shines through. But as long as we allow the superstitions to take control of our mind, we don't allow the light to shine. I'm going to use an example. Let's say I'm driving down the road with a non-believer and a black cat runs across the road in front of me, and I say, oh no, that's going to be bad luck. What does that person think? Is that letting the light shine or letting the darkness shine? We allow these silly little superstitions to take hold of our mind and to control us. Now, we might not have even meant it seriously, but we said it. And often we allow things to come out of our mouths that should never come out. Paul says, if meat should cause my brother to fall, I will not eat meat. And that goes the same with what my mouth says. If I am going to say something that's going to cause another person to fall, then I will not say it. And therefore we need to ask the Lord to allow our lives to become the light of the world, to get rid of those imaginations of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do we have strongholds in our minds? Only you know if you still have a stronghold in your mind. Only you know if you still have those superstitions. I don't know. Nobody else knows. Only you and God know. And therefore, it's your responsibility to pull down those strongholds. Don't let Satan have his way. Let Christ shine in you. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you in that name of all names, the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that we will take what we've heard today and apply it in our lives. Help us to get rid of those strongholds. Help us to walk in the flesh, but not in the Spirit. May the Spirit guide us. May the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, fill us. Help us not to hide our light under a bushel, but help us to let it shine. Let it overcome everything. Lord, because one little flame drives away all the darkness. Help us to allow that light to shine in our lives and drive out all those strongholds in our minds that we've been holding on to for so long. Help us to become the lights of the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.